RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to Jayco.com. And by Campgrounds of America. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free app today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about our recent trip to Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida. Harry Potter is kind of a big deal around here, so this was the perfect chance to visit the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
We will walk you through planning your trip to Universal Studios, plus discuss some strategies for enjoying a park known for long lines and expensive ticket prices.
You might think that a trip to Universal Studios is not at the top of the travel list, but we know that the Wizarding World of Harry Potter will cast its spell on your whole family. You are listening to episode number 129, Greetings from the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Universal Studios, Florida.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, greetings from the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and Universal Studios, it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at the Thetford Corporation.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. At Thetford has everything you need to keep the exterior of your RV in tip-top condition.
Thetford's all-surface care comes in an aerosol, trigger spray, and economy size. It's the original all-surface cleaner since 1972. It predates both you and I, Stephanie.
It does. Thank goodness we can say that, right?
But it's been around the block.
It is. All right. So this is good for RVs, but it's also good for all of the toys that you might be carting around in your RV, right? Like your golf carts and your razors and your all-terrain vehicles.
And perhaps even more importantly, Stephanie, it's an all-in-one product that polishes, waxes, treats, and protects.
All right. So this is a good time of year to talk about this product because a lot of you are going to be opening up your camper soon.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Right. So get the all-surface care and then do a treatment before you use it for the season, because what it does is it protects against damaging oxidation,
Will it get rid of the winter funk?
I don't know what that is. I don't know what winter
funk
is.
You know exactly what the winter funk is.
All I know is that it's designed to be used on all automotive paints, fiberglass, aluminum, chrome, stainless steel, glass, plexiglass. So you can use this on all of those materials and not be worried that, you know, you can't do this part of your camper or that part of your camper. And it coats and protects. So it cleans, coats, protects, waxes, polishes, finishes, right? Are there any other words that I could use?
I'm not sure, but it's just another great product from Thetford.
It is.
And to view their complete lineup of products, head over to Thetford.com. And I can't wait to get the Smart Tote 2 back into action.
Oh, I know. So you're thinking about it. You're thinking about that Smart Tote too. Not a lot of people think about how they're going to evacuate the sewer tanks, but you know, you're doing it over there.
Because when I think of the Smart Tote too, I think of camping.
All right. So let's talk not a lot about camping on this episode, but this is more of one of those travel episodes. We've been doing all of our Florida material. This is another paired episode for our Florida trip to listen to our complete review of Fort Wilderness, where we camped when we visited Universal. Universal Studios in Florida. You are going to want to listen to episode number 67 of Campground of the Week. And then to listen to our entire episode about Walt Disney World, you are going to want to head over to episode number 128 of RV Family Travel Atlas.
It's really the first time we've paired three episodes.
Yeah, well, we got a lot. Well, it's actually more than that because we also did the RV, the Super Show, the Florida RV Super Show episode.
Is a 10-day trip. We got four episodes of content.
No, because you're not even counting our campground review of Fort DeSoto. Fort DeSoto.
Five linked episodes.
We did a lot.
We had fun in Florida.
We did. It was a great trip.
We did a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think we want to go every winter. Apparently, we're not the only ones who do that.
I don't know why I placed more value on this trip going into it. It was funny. I think it's because it's the winter up here in the Northeast. And so you feel like if you're getting away for 10 days to Florida in the middle of the winter, it has to be like everything. But in the days leading up to this trip, I kept saying to you, I don't know if you remember, I kept saying like, this has to be a wonderful family vacation. Like, I was dedicated to this being like all things family vacation
in the middle of the winter. And we knew we weren't going to be on another RV trip for at least a month, maybe 6 weeks. And we hadn't been on one for a while. So there was that added sort of intensity to the whole experience.
Yeah. And it paid off. Like, whatever happened, I was going down there. I just thought, I just want to have fun with the kids and I want to relax and I want to enjoy the weather. And we did.
And we discovered our inner Disney mom and Disney dad, we really did.
To my surprise, not to your surprise, but to my great surprise, because I truly in my head thought, this is the one trip I'm taking my kids to Disney.
The one trip? Yeah, right.
I know.
Okay, so listen, if you're listening to this on Thursday or even Friday, we're at the Atlantic City RV Show this weekend, February 17th to 19th. We are giving four seminars on Friday, four seminars on Saturday, and two on Sunday. The complete schedule is up at gsmedia.com. Just scroll down to the Atlantic City Show. And Saturday, after our last presentation, we would love to do a happy hour at the Shoe Bar in the Sheraton after our 5 p.m. presentation.
Yeah, so
if any podcast
probably
listeners are there, you know, we'll go right from the presentation over to the bar. We'll hang out. We'd love to chat. We'd love to talk about all things RV travel with you.
We're also going to change the time of our Facebook Live this weekend on Friday, because normally we've been doing it at 3 p.m. Eastern time, but we have a presentation at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So we're going to have to switch it up. We're going to do it at 4 p.m. at the show. So this is a great time to tune in if you want to sort of see us at the RV show. We've already got some ideas about what we're going to show a little bit more. But, you know, it'll be a little bit of a surprise. We're working on it. We'll put it together, a good Facebook Live.
We'll certainly show you a couple RVs and maybe try and grab a quick interview with somebody there that we would like you to meet if we can. All right. So you wanted to do a follow-up on the whole RV rental content we did for Lazy Days. We had lots of feedback and lots of interest on kind of flying into a location and renting an RV.
And I'm glad to know that and to receive that feedback, because this has been something that we've been messing around with for a long time, like going back and forth. Is this something we want to do? Should we try it? Should we cover it? Because for us, it seemed to make so much sense in some ways. But then there's also logistics involved. So it was a little bit of a leap for us to do our first one, and it was phenomenal. We really had a great experience with it. So,
well, some of our listeners are thinking about doing the same, mm-hmm. and not just to Disney, but flying into a location, renting an RV, and then maybe going to that bucket list destination that they've been putting off for a long time because the drive is so far. And
right.
A lot of you out there have little kids and don't want to drive 25 hours to Yellowstone.
So the perfect example is Johan, who is one of our listeners from Florida. So all the way down there in the corner of our country, right in the southeast corner. So he's from Florida, and he commented on Facebook, and then we went back and forth with a bunch of comments, and I really thought it would be great material to share here on the News Roundup and get everybody else thinking a little bit and maybe get some more feedback. So Johan pointed out that he was thinking about the possibilities of renting a Class C from the Lazy Days in North Colorado. All right. And he said, if I rented from that one, if we flew into Colorado from Florida, we could rent a Class C out of that North Colorado location, go to Grand Teton, 6 hours away, then a few hours to Yellowstone. Mount Rushmore would be 8 from Yellowstone and then 6 hours back to Lazy Days. So he had this little, like, I mean, it's not a circle, but it's like a trapezoid kind of a thing mapped out, right?
Yeah. And also it's like hitting three bucket list type destinations that, you know, I guess for Johan are sort of, they maybe feel out of reach in terms of driving up there next summer.
Look, go to Google Maps and put in Florida and then put in Grand Tetons.
Yeah.
You know, you look at that drive. So he said, so I said to him, oh, Johan, that would be great if you crunch the numbers on that, let us know. He goes, already did. He had them. So he shared them with us. So he was saying the bunkhouse class C from Lazy Days in Johnston or Johnstown, I'm not sure how you pronounce that in Colorado, is $250 per night. And now he thought that he had to pay for mileage, but he doesn't because the mileage is unlimited.
And Lazy Days actually jumped in and said that
and
on
said,
the Facebook.
No, it's unlimited mileage, right? So he could get unlimited mileage. So it'd be $250 a night. And the whole trip would be about 1,300 miles, okay? So he had this whole
itinerary
laid out. And I'll put that in the show notes and just kind of like I'll link to that Facebook post in the show notes so you can see it if you want.
He's got campgrounds picked out, the price of the campgrounds, the total price of the trip to some degree or another. And why don't we go over those total
costs?
Let's
go over the total costs.
And he was talking a 2-week trip, I believe.
So this is 7 nights of actual RV rental.
Okay, 7 nights in the RV.
Because he wouldn't have to build in those days of travel as much as he would when he was driving. So for a 7-night RV rental, that would include that Grand Teton, Yellowstone, Mount Rushmore trip. That's a pretty epic journey. Why don't you say the cost that he came up with?
$1,750 for 7 nights of the RV rental. Campsites, $341. And
fuel. He did gas costs.
Well, he added gas.
Yeah, no, he added gas costs. He was good. Yeah.
Fuel at $284, a total of about $2,500.
Okay.
Now, if that sounds crazy, I mean, look, I'm not saying that sounds crazy to do all three of those parks in 7 days, but you could just go to Yellowstone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If that's not your pace, if, you know, 7 days in an RV rental, you don't want to hit three big national parks, you could just do Yellowstone.
Yeah. So then he said, you know, we'd also have to add flights, park fees, food, et cetera. So, and then he was asking, would I have to rent a car to get around in those places? Now,
I responded very quickly and said, I think you'd have some issues parking a Class C in the NPS parking lots there.
I think so, too. But ironically, just a couple of weeks ago at the Florida RV Super Show, I had a conversation with a gentleman who has done a trip like this, very similar to this, with just a motorhome. And what he had done was he didn't want to tow. So in every location, he said to me, Enterprise is great. They come and they pick you up from wherever you are. So whenever he wanted a car in the location that he was at and he was going to be there for more than one night or go exploring, he had Enterprise come to his campsite. And he got his rental. And then he had his rental and they came and they picked up and they picked him up for the rental. So that is, I'm not saying that that's no big deal. That's an added logistic.
It's a lot of planning.
But it's interesting.
And it costs money, but it could get you on that major trip
that
you want to do.
Now, this is the important part, okay? He said that I asked him, well, how much longer of a trip would it be if you drove? So he pointed out, if they were driving from Florida out there, they would have to calculate in an additional 8 travel days. That would be driving about 400 miles on each of those travel days.
Getting off work, an additional 8 days.
So think about that. That's not just 8 travel days. That's gas. That, and he said he gets like 8 miles a gallon with it when he's towing.
It's the insanity of dealing with your kids in the car.
It's also food on all 8 of those days. It's you're not working on all 8 of those days, so they're vacation days. And then you're also going to have to pay for those campgrounds at night. So it's interesting to me that I'm thinking when I like add in all of those other things, again, it always matters where you live. Johan lives in the very southeastern corner of the United States. So for him, the logistics of an RV rental vacation may actually work out more in his favor to somebody that's sort of like smack dab in the middle of the country, you know, and doesn't have to drive as far. It's an interesting option to explore. I like it. So, you know,
I like it too. And I really like the idea that you can do the campground experience and not have to stay in hotel rooms by renting an RV.
And Carrie, who has a lot of experience, Carrie Cox of TravelsWithBirdie.com, who had a lot of experience at all these parks, did chime in. And she said that parking the Class C would be challenging in the parks, but they, saw RVs. There.
And those people are probably showing up at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, and getting to the parking lot.
You wouldn't do that. If I suggested that you drive a Class C into the park, you'd be like, no, lady, stop it.
Unless we said we're getting up at 5:30 to go park the Class C and go do our thing. No.
Yeah, but if the park doesn't have an interior transportation system, then it doesn't work.
We've been to Great Smokies and Acadia, and parking the pickup truck is occasionally complicated.
Yeah.
Okay?
So,
I mean,
you know what? Thank you so much to Johan for kind of sharing that thought process, because I think it's interesting to share with everybody else and get everybody else thinking. And we'd love to hear from anybody else who's kind of kicking around the numbers or thinking about doing it, or anybody who actually does do it. For us, as we said in the blog post that we did a complete review of renting an RV from Lazy Days over on the blog this week. And we did say, for us, we realized that we are campground people at this point, and there is a value for us to being able to have that experience when traveling, as much as we are RV people.
Yeah, and I would stress what Stephanie was saying there a second ago. If you have done this, please drop us an email or a note on social media and let us know who you rented from, what price you paid, how it all worked out.
Yeah.
It's just, it's valuable information
for our other listeners and readers, and we'd love to share it.
Yeah, and I don't think there is a lot of information out about the world of RV rentals.
I know. That's why we're so excited to be dipping into it. So anyway, that's kind of like a little bit of a news roundup, our week in a nutshell, and we'll be back in a minute to dive into our feature topic, which is exploring the wonderful wizarding world of Harry Potter at Universal Studios.
Expelliarmus.
Don't start casting spells at me. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to dive into our featured topic, all about the wizarding world of Harry Potter at Universal Studios in Florida. But first, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Campgrounds of America.
One of the benefits of camping at KOAs is that they offer lots of options for camping with family and friends. Even if your buddies do not have an RV, you can still invite them along to enjoy a deluxe cabin. Deluxe cabins have bathrooms, showers, kitchens, and room to sleep the entire family.
And they're so cozy and comfortable. Many KOAs are making sure there are cabins next to RV sites situated throughout the campground. And we can't stress this enough. If you're in an RV and you want to go camping with grandma and grandpa or your buddy that doesn't have an RV, you could very easily get a nice RV site with a cabin right next door.
Right.
So you can all share the campground experience together and be right next to each other.
But you need to call, right? So our trick, we've done this before. We've camped with friends before. Whenever we're doing that, we're trying to get sites that are situated well, like look at the campground map, give the campground a call and say, hey, I want to come. I want to camp with my, you know, mom and dad who don't have an RV and we'd love to be near the cabin. And usually the manager, the owner, they can really like set you up so that you're going to have a great camping experience, even though not everybody owns an RV.
And we've seen situations too where you can kind of almost share an area between the cabin and the RV. So you kind of have like your own little world right there to enjoy the great
outdoors. We love buddy sites. We've talked about buddy sites before. And that is something that I think more and more campgrounds are doing. They're sort of creating those sites that, you know, allow for that social communal feel. Yay.
So to find out what else is behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download their free app today.
All right. And let's find out what is behind the big Universal Studios Florida sign on this episode. Okay. So number one, I'm going to do the same disclaimer that we did for Disney. This is not an insider's guide to Universal Studios. We're not even trying. No.
We went for the two Harry Potter parks.
Yeah. So just like with Walt Disney World, we had a lot of listeners that we're sure have like so much more experience with Walt Disney World than we do.
PH Disney.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, and the same with Universal Studios. There's people that, you know, take advantage of the packages that this park offers and they regularly visit. They've been a million times. That's great if that's your thing. That this show is sort of about, you know, giving people that first-time visitor, we want to check this out advice. It's also giving the inside scoop on what is a relatively hot topic right now if you have young kids, and that is the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
So let's set it up to give people a little bit of information about planning and preparing to go. And the first thing you really want to think about are the ticket prices. Now, there is nothing cheap about Universal Studios. There is nothing cheap about the way they set up the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Right.
So they almost kind of magically rope you in into buying two tickets or a combined ticket to get to both parts of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Could you explain a little more?
I will. So I really feel that Universal Studios is built on just this like pricing upcharge system. The entire system is that way, right? So here's something that you need to know. There are two basic parks in Universal Studios. One is called Universal Studios Florida, and the other is called the Islands of Adventure. There will actually be a third park coming in May, this May 2017, and that's Volcano Bay, which is a water park, of course, an answer to other camp, you know, other theme parks.
And let's clarify right now. In the Universal Studios section of the park, that's where you find Diagon Alley. Okay, so that's one of the two parts of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. The other part of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Hogsmeade, is in the Islands of Adventure section. These are two different theme parks with two different ticket prices, or you can get a combined ticket at a pretty hefty price.
Right. Okay, so we'll get so think about this in terms of Disney. This is like having Epcot and Magic Kingdom. Okay. They are actually separate theme parks and you have to purchase tickets separately to get into each one. However, just like Disney, they offer that two parks in a day option. This is reminiscent of the Disney Hopper Pass, right? So for those of you out there that like to do the Hopper Passes at Disney, you know that a ticket that's a Hopper Pass is more expensive. And similarly, Universal Studios offers that too. You can buy a more expensive ticket in order to be able to move between the two parks every day. The trick about the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is that they separated it between the two parks. So in order to actually visit the entire Wizarding World of Harry Potter, you must do what is like the Universal Hopper Pass, right? That two park ticket.
Which clocks in at a cool $155 a day for adults and a very, very lovely discount of $5 for kids, $150 a day for kids.
Three and up. Okay. Three, yeah.
So you are talking, this is easily a $1,000 day.
Right. So technically we spent $765 to pay for the five of us in our family.
But then once we started drinking butterbeer, which we'll talk about later, we tipped the scales.
All right. So like I said, the entire system is designed to get you to either stay at an on-site resort hotel or purchase a multi-day ticket pass. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that once you stay at an on-site resort or purchase multiple days of tickets, like I want to go there for 2 days, I want to go there for 3 days, the price drops dramatically. All right. So for example, I want to give an example of this. If you want a park to park, like that Hopper Pass, right? Park to park, 3 day pass, it's only $85 a day.
That's
think about
so cray-cray.
How much.
They really are killing the person who's coming for one day.
Absolutely. So for a total, if you wanted to get a park to park pass for 3 days, you only have to pay $255 for that ticket. Okay. But we wanted two parks for one day and we had to pay $155. It's just,
I think there's also, they probably know a lot of people want to do Harry Potter.
Yeah.
They want to hop over from Disney for that one day. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're going to whack you.
Well, this is their way of getting people to spend a vacation with them instead of a vacation at Disney.
And that's got to be tough competition.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's very interesting because there are absolutely no deals out there for one-day tickets. Don't even bother to look because literally for 5 months leading up to our trip to Disney, I did like coupon searches. Like I was looking for codes. I was looking for every pot. Like I'm like, there has to be something, right? There is nothing. The only discounts are if you're staying on site or if you're buying those multi-day passes, then all of a sudden these coupons come up. Then all of a sudden these discounts apply. So if you want to do what we did and treat Universal Studios, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, like a theme park, a daily theme park. We did the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and this. You're going to have to suck it up and say, oh my gosh, this is going to be a ridiculously expensive day.
Your money will magically disappear.
Okay. Now, another point, all right.
This is actually a big perk to staying at the Universal Resorts, right?
Yeah. Well, they offer it that way. And like I said, everything is about trying to get you there instead of Disney. I really feel that way.
Park admission.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're staying at a Universal Resort, you can get into the park at 8 o'clock and get an hour in before everybody else is there. Now, let us explain what we did. And I would not recommend you do this. We thought the entire park opened at 8 o'clock. We misread this. We did not know it was just open at 8 for their guests. So we showed up
at
7:30 or whatever, got through the lines, and literally walked up to a gate and realized, oh, they're only letting people in with bracelets or badges or whatever.
That had the badges that were staying
but
on.
But we had three little boys with sad puppy dog eyes. And the young man named James at the gate, and that's not his real name.
We didn't even ask him to let us in.
That's not his real name.
No, we wouldn't do that to him.
He gave
James
one look at our kids.
Air quotes.
And he said, go ahead and have fun.
He goes, all right, go and have fun. He was so sweet. I said, we were just walking up and we were planning on waiting. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And we said, oh, I know. I don't know why we thought that we could get in now if we showed up. And he goes, oh, that's okay. That's okay. And he goes, have fun. And he just stepped aside. Aww.
And we got an hour.
Now, don't
photo of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, a bunch of people were like, it looks so empty. And I was like, well, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, you know.
I'm going to explain, though, because this is another one of my peeves with this park, is that, you know, they have a lot of early park admission things that change all the time. So one of the things that they do during some of the non-peak times is if you purchase your tickets online, you do get that early park admission. It's not all the time. It's sometimes. So when I had been online and I had been thinking about buying our park, you know, online tickets, I saw that. But then when I didn't end up doing that because I'm like, well, what if somebody gets sick? I have my mom thoughts. Why not just buy them at the gate? But then other things that change. Sometimes it opens 60 minutes early. Sometimes it opens 90 minutes early. Sometimes certain rides are open during that early park admission. Other times not. Like, it's very much like it feels like it's hard to kind of get it down.
Right.
Yeah. And to really understand exactly what is, you know, available at any given time.
I think, to be fair, I think Disney feels that way a little bit too. It's just that we were at Disney for 4 or 5 days and we got into that groove. Universal was just like a one-day thing and it was learning a whole new system.
Yeah. I felt like the pricing at Disney was a little more fair, especially because our third point here is that the upcharges, in my opinion, are a little outrageous. So Universal Express Unlimited is an extra upcharge you can buy, which allows you to skip the lines without limits. So on every single ride you go to that has this express, you can just ride the same ride over and over again and go right to
the
front.
For how much?
For $84.99 per ticket.
$235 an adult ticket.
In addition to that $155, we would have had to pay
I got to say that makes me a little cranky too, and I don't like to get cranky on the show, and I don't get cranky very often. If I'm the guy, which I was, that just bought the regular ticket, I'm kind of annoyed. Like, I spent $150 and there's people buzzing past me in line because they spent another $90. But let me say this. The lines were not long. We got we got on all of the rides very quickly.
Okay, we'll get to that though. So then the second option is Universal Express Pass. So that allows you to skip the lines one time on each ride. And that will just cost you a cool $64.99 per ticket extra. Okay. Now, in addition, there's also other upcharges. There's character breakfast. You can get dining passes just like you can at Disney. But to be honest, I felt that when we had just spent 2 days in Disney parks and used the fast pass system, which felt very democratic, you know, like everybody gets some fast passes and then
every guest is equally special.
Right. But you only get three, right? So it limits it. It spreads the love. I felt like it spread the love. I felt like here, I was like, that is like rewarding people that like we were busting the budget with regular tickets. And then to say, oh, but you could also go to the front of the line for an extra $85 made me feel a little like skeevy.
Yeah. And also you were a little annoyed that young Wesley had to pay a full $150 and he couldn't get on almost all the rides.
Right. So three and up, you know, pay $150 a day. I think that very few three-year-olds are able to enjoy a lot of the things in the park. And so, you know, I did feel that that was a little just, it was absurd.
But we
to
paid
me.
Full price for West at Disney too, though, didn't we?
I know, but there's more.
Right.
Like
Disney. There are whole sections of the Magic Kingdom for the little guys. And so many of the rides West could go on.
Yeah.
Where there's not, see, the true Harry Potter worlds, not as many rides as you might think. But we'll get into that.
I always want to jump ahead.
I want to jump right into the Wizarding World.
Okay. Now, this is something that I will say. This is my next tip for planning and preparation. Download the app. This is literally what it's called. Wait Times for Universal Orlando.
Creative name for that app.
This was a phenomenal app. I downloaded it the night before we went. And it's awesome. You pick the park that you're looking at, Islands of Adventure, whatever. It literally gives you a list of all of the rides in that park and the exact wait time at that moment. Love that app. We used it that day to really navigate.
Another example of how the smartphone has changed the game at these theme parks for the guest experience.
All right. Now, planning and preparation tip number four. I think we're on our number five. Okay. Decide the order that you want to visit your parks in.
Particularly your Harry Potter parks.
Yeah.
That's what we're focused
on. That's what it was all about for us.
Now, in the book,
the Harry Potter book.
When you read the Harry Potter books, obviously Harry goes to Diagon Alley first and does his school shopping and whatnot.
Yes.
Then he heads on the Hogwarts Express. Mm-hmm. And then he goes over to Hogwarts and
Hogsmeade,
the little village there, yeah. Right? Now, that's the order the kids do it in the books. It might not be the order that you want to do it in for two, I think, very compelling reasons.
Yeah, there
are. And the boys
are.
Noticed. The boys noticed that we did not really do
them
in the order.
We did it the wrong way, and we knew that we were doing it the wrong way. I know this is going to sound silly. I hemmed and hawed.
You were so right. So there's two
reasons. I had
reasons.
Done my research.
What are the two reasons why you might want to go to Hogsmeade first and then Diagon Alley in the afternoon?
Yeah. So we went to Hogsmeade in the morning, early entrance, early park admission, and then we took the train down to Diagon Alley. The reason why we did it that way was, first of all, there are more rides in Hogsmeade. And the rides, the roller coasters, the rides there are the ones that develop big lines later in the day.
So you want to hit those rides quick and fast in the morning. And when Stephanie says there's more rides, there's like five really good rides there.
Yeah.
Maybe four or five really good rides there. Where Diagon Alley, there's one ride.
Right.
So that's an incredibly compelling reason to go there first and to go get those rides in. And we did all
that's
of
what we did.
We did all of those rides.
Every single ride. And we didn't wait. I mean, for any of them,
10 minutes, and we went on a couple of the roller coasters two or three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we did. So that's the one reason. And there's also an Ollivander's. Now, technically, in the books, there's only an Ollivander's wand shop. In
Stephanie would like there to be an Ollivander's wine shop. But
that would be awesome.
They don't have that yet.
The wine picks the wizard.
You got wine for Valentine's Day.
I did. So anyway, the Ollivander, they do have an Ollivander's.
Did you just say the wine picks the wizard?
Wine picks
that's
the wizard,
cute.
Yeah. So there is an Ollivander's there in Hogsmeade. So even though that's not, again, technically accurate, you can do that first. And that's another thing that develops.
That is so nice
lines.
Of them to put those stores in both parks so that you can,
aren't they thoughtful?
You can buy those $50 wands in either location.
And you need to budget for the wand. Do not go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and think, I'm not going to splurge
now,
for the
wand. Now, you're jumping ahead.
Okay. So anyway.
But there's another compelling reason to go to Hogsmeade first.
Yeah.
And that's because, and you found this out, not taking credit for this, Diagon Alley is covered and shady.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the hot afternoon, it was really nice over there because a lot of it's shaded, where Hogsmeade is out in the open and hotter.
And there's like relaxing areas all over Diagon Alley. There's like picnic tables and there's
way
so many more spells
for the kids
to do. So really, even though we did it backwards and I was prepared to be like, oh, we shouldn't have done it that way. I should have flipped it around. I think if we went back – We do it that way again. 100%.
Because the kids mentioned it like, oh, we did this the wrong way. But then they didn't care. I mean, it wasn't like any kind of point of frustration for them. But I just feel like that shade in the afternoon and the more relaxing environment.
And getting on all of the big famous
and
rides.
And getting on all the big rides in the morning.
Fast.
I really recommend that you do them in that order.
Okay. The very last thing that we need to say in the planning and preparation is you need to be prepared to deal if you have little ones like we do. We have a little guy, Wes. You need to be prepared for the ride swap program that they have at Universal Studios. At Disney, you heard on our last podcast, we explained how wonderful it was. They just gave you a fast pass that you could go on. The other parent could go on later with. Here at Universal, the parent and the youngin have to wait in the entire line for the ride. Then you get to the very front of the ride and they have this little room. It's called the ride swap room. And you have to go in there with your little child who is not old enough to ride the ride.
And now he's seen everybody getting on the ride.
And now he's seen that and he's waited in line, right? Your three-year-old's waited in line and you need to sit there and wait for the kids to come off the ride. And then you're going to sit there again with the other parent while the swap parent goes on the ride
again.
It's
not a fun experience for the little guy who's not going on the ride.
Wesley couldn't go on so many rides in Disney World. He never once had a meltdown. Why? Because the other parent was taking him somewhere else, going to get him an ice cream,
or
whatever,
taking him on another
ride.
Taking
him on the carousel. I took him on Dumbo while you guys went to Thunder Mountain. It was no big deal. The ride swap at Universal, he had a complete and total meltdown at the Gringotts ride because he went all the way to the front. And then we were like, you can't go on the
ride. It's so anticlimactic because you kind of get as you walk through the line on that ride, you're kind of entering the world.
Oh, the
and
bed.
It's getting exciting.
Oh, you
and
get on the elevator.
They're building it up for you and everything. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, you can't go on the ride, kid.
Yeah.
So they should figure that out.
He had a meltdown and Wes doesn't melt down a lot and he cried and it was sad. So I didn't like that. And I really think that you need to really consider that if you're going to do ride swap, you might have a little one who has behavior problems because it's hard to wait in line and then not go on a ride. I don't like that at all. Okay. So those are sort of the planning and prep things that I feel like you need to be prepared. You need to think about the money angle, the app angle, the, you know, how you're going to do the rides with little ones angle. Anything else that we forgot?
No, I think it's time to take a quick break and come back and take our listeners
the good part.
To Hogsmeade.
All right, we're going.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two. We're talking about Universal's Islands of Adventure and primarily Hogsmeade Village, okay, which is in Universal's Islands of Adventure and where we spent half of our day. But first, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
The Octane SLX and Octane toy haulers never cease to amaze. They are built for cargo, equipped for recharging, and designed with a style all their own. They have the bases covered so you can cover more ground. Also, they're covered by Jayco's two-year warranty. The Octane and the Octane SLX give you the freedom to explore and take your toys along for the ride. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Now, I really, really love our Octane Super Light.
Yeah.
We have not gone camping in it. But this past weekend, I spent some quality time in it doing a little bit of packing and just kind of, you know, getting things ready for the spring season, even though it's like a month away. And man, do I love that toy hauler.
I do too.
It
when
is
I walk
a tight
in, I'm
toy
like,
hauler, man.
This is ours. All right. So, but we've got a lot of ground to cover here. So we are back at Universal. We're at Islands of Adventure. We're at Hogsmeade, where we chose to start our day. And we just said in the previous segment why we made that decision. All right. Now, the rides. We said, number one, there are more rides in this section.
Yeah, and what we did first was you went on Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey with Max and Theo.
That's the big ride.
Yeah, and Wesley couldn't go on it. And we knew that, and we didn't go through the line. I decided to take him over to Ollivander's. because I just
no line. There was zero people at Olivander's.
It wasn't our initial plan. I was just going to wait for you. Then I saw no line at Olivander's, and I went over there. So why don't you discuss the ride first, and then I'll talk about Olivander's.
Sure. So Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey is the actual, like, you know, castle. All right. So it's the school. You go in.
Hogwarts.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to be specific. It's the Hogwarts. Right. So you go in the whole line. And we were, of course, moving very quickly because there wasn't a line at that point. It was like 8:15 in the morning. So, but the whole line leads you through different parts of the school. So you'll go through like the greenhouses where like Madame Sprout would be. And you'll go through all these different sections of the castle. And, you know, they have screens up where like Harry and Hermione and Ron are like having discussions and then dart off. And so it's this very interactive school experience. Oh, and the portraits all talk at the like you in line, and they say things.
Was it fast though? Was it thrilling? Were there roller coaster type parts to it?
Okay. Oh no, I'm talking about the line.
Oh, I didn't get back to this one.
No. This is the line. All right. This is us walking to the beginning of the ride. Then you get on the ride, and the ride is very similar to almost all of the rides now at Universal, which was it was a combination of a roller coaster and virtual reality. So you were on a roller coaster, and you were like, really flying.
I was amazed by that. I mean, we have not been in these theme parks in years and years and years. The amount of virtual reality that is tied into these rides now is pretty incredible.
Yeah. So this is like you're like going through, you know, Hogwarts, and you're having to like do a test and like conquer various beasts and different things that have like, you know, put the castle and the school at risk. And so you're flying through on this roller coaster, and, you know, you do a great job at the end and, of course, defeat like all of the beasts that are like – oh, and what are they called? They suck your – soul.
The Death Eaters.
Yeah. There are scary parts of it where it's like the Death Eaters coming at you, virtual reality. You're like, oh yeah, that's scary. And like the spiders, you know, from like the whole
Stephanie hates
tarantula
spiders.
Episode, you know, that,
oh,
that,
yeah, that
book,
was like the second or third one.
They're coming at you. And so there's definitely parts.
Brings
where you're like,
the books
whoa
to life though.
Yes,
in the movies.
Absolutely. Those experiences are the case that we really enjoyed it, me and the boys.
So I took Wes to Ollivander's, and then I did Ollivander's again with Max and Theo. So you go in and you get a wand demonstration by the wizard who runs the shop. And it's in this kind of dark, spooky room. And he you know, the wizard was good. He was excellent. And the wizard, the wand picks the wizard, right? Yeah. So you kind of go through this process of like him explaining how you're going to find the right wand and everything. And there's kind of magic tricks that he does.
He chooses
yeah,
it's like the wrong
wand. Oh, and everything falls off the shelves.
Yeah.
And it's like a 10, maybe 15 minute theater performance almost. And then when that lets out, you're released into the wand shop.
Where you can actually,
and of course, at that point,
things.
You are totally compelled. You're like, how do you do the first part and then tell your kids, oh, no, we're not getting wands? I mean, it's like you have to budget for wands or don't go into Ollivander's. And it really looks like Ollivander's from the movies and the books. Mm-hmm. It really is a cool experience. Now, there's two price points on the wands. There's actually probably many price points on the wands, but there's two major price points. $40 for a plain wand with no sensor that can't do any spells. $50 for a wand with a sensor that then allows the kids to go around the park and do spells. The boys loved doing the spells. They spent hours doing the spells.
When you say hours, let's clarify that it was
hours.
Hours. We're not exaggerating on that. This was their favorite part of this.
So you can't
experience.
Try to save 10 bucks and not get the wand. You have to get the wands with the sensors. This also says something about the whole Harry Potter experience, the whole wizarding world of Harry Potter experience. A lot of it is based around buying things and shopping, where when you're in the Disney parks, there's just ride after ride after ride.
You can avoid the gift shops if you want.
Yeah, in Wizarding World of Harry Potter, well, I don't think you can avoid Ollivander's.
No. I mean, you can avoid them at Disney.
Yeah,
I don't think you can here.
The whole, like, the experience of Butterbeer, which we'll talk about next, there's just a lot of points at which, like, there's shopping there. You know, there's mm-hmm. the candy shop. There's Fred and Ron Weasley's magic shop. And it's like, you know, you can go in there and look around, but you got to buy stuff. And we bought something at the candy store. We didn't buy something at the magic store.
We didn't. Yeah. So they only got the wands and you got them something at the candy store. Yeah, they didn't get any other souvenirs.
No. And look, it was all awesome. I mean, the magic shop was awesome. The candy shop was awesome. But there are more stores than there are rides.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at Disney, I at least feel like there are way more rides than stores. Now, I don't know if that's actually true, mm-hmm. but you feel that way.
Yeah.
And at Harry Potter, it feels like you're going from one store to the next.
But they go to bed every night with their wands. Like they
Harry
still,
Potter was their favorite
They
park.
Have their wands and, you know.
Well, and the magic tricks are incredibly cool.
Yeah.
I mean, doing the magic, the spells,
and
they enjoyed them.
It took them a long time to figure out how to do it. It's not super easy.
You like, have to practice.
Yeah, and my favorite part about this was that they had
young wizards around.
Young wizards.
Working there.
And they would help the kids do the spell.
They would teach them how to do the spell.
So if the kid's sitting there pointing at the window and it's, and, you know, they're trying to follow the diagram that's
on the
ground.
Yeah, there's like a diagram on the ground that shows you how to wave the wand.
Yeah.
And you have to do a tight little movement. It is actually kind of hard.
Yeah. Like they have to really, and it's nice because
day,
that mimics like the books.
Right.
Because in the books, you know, these kids, like they go to class and they try to learn the spells and they do things wrong and it doesn't work.
For Max and Theo, doing the spells was really the major part of the day. More than the rides, it was the major part
I was
of the day for them.
Shocked to find that because we did like both of the parks almost super quickly, and we'll talk more about the other one. But then at the end, they spent the last 2 hours that we had to drag them away. I think at 5:30,
well,
6 o'clock at night.
Max became a master of setting off this water fountain. There's a couple of them that you can do a spell and set off a water feature that can actually get people wet that are walking by.
Yeah.
So Max, at a certain point, had like a crowd of 20 people around him because they were watching him
and this
set
is,
off
we
this
should say
water
this
fountain.
Is Diagon Alley, which is not what
that
we're
was
actually
next
talking
to Diagon
about
Alley, but
now.
They did the spells in both places, so
yeah.
I'm allowed to jump ahead a little bit. But the spells and the wands, the Ollivander's part was just such a major
Max
part
was
of the
entertaining
day.
An entire crowd of people. They were like cracking up because he was turning on the water.
And getting people wet and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's at least two like that where you can set off a water feature.
Yeah, so the spells were remarkably fun. Now, the other rides, the Flight of the Hippogriff, we all did as a family. That was a roller coaster that kids like 36 inches and up could do.
Really
so
fun. A little bit of a short
and we
ride.
Could all do it.
But really fun, and we did it a couple times.
The Dragon Challenge is like super duper amazing roller coaster. I did that by myself. I'm the only
yeah.
person
and
that went
that
on that.
And was that pretty risky and scary?
Oh, absolutely. This was like the one at Dolly World that we did together. That was, you know,
right.
where you were screaming. Like you were shrieking.
I was screaming like a child.
This is like that. That was like the eagle or something like that. So that was the Dragon Challenge. Then what you're going to do. Okay. And then there's also dining there if you want to eat there. Now, it was still early. By the time we had gotten our wands and we did all the rides there, it was still early in the morning. I mean, I think we were done there by like 10:30 in the morning. It was fantastic because we just flew
through
everything.
And we wanted to take the Hogwarts Express over to
now,
Diagon Alley.
Right. So you could eat there. There's Hog's Head and then there's the Three Broomsticks there if you want to eat. But what we decided to do was, again, there was, I think, a 10-minute wait for the Hogwarts Express. And that's the train that takes you from one park to the other. And this is why you have to buy the two-park pass. If you don't, they won't let you on the Hogwarts.
You don't get on the train.
Yeah, you can't get on the express. So we did.
And the train was pretty cool.
It was. It was fun. You sit in a train cabin, and then like the fields go by outside. You
on
see.
Like a virtual reality type
yeah.
screen.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're
it
actually
well,
moving
really
because
well
you
done.
Do move between
yeah, you
the parks.
Are going to the other park that they charged you money to get into.
Right.
And look, when you're doing Hogsmeade, you're in Universal's Islands of Adventure Park, and we didn't really do anything else in there. But just so you know, there's the Seuss Landing, the Lost Continent, Skull Island, which is a King Kong thing, Jurassic Park, Marvel Superhero Island, which has Spider-Man.
That's the big roller coaster there. Spider-Man's all the rage.
And Seuss has a lot of kid stuff. So there's a ton of other stuff to do there, but we didn't do it because we wanted to do our whole day at
yeah,
the two Harry Potter.
Yeah, because it was 10:30 in the morning, and the way that I'm looking at it is I'm looking at my app, and I'm seeing that the wait time still for the stuff over in, you know, the next park that we're going to, you know, I'm going – it's still not crowded. We got to go. That's how I think. I think do the stuff that you have to do, right? That's at the top of your list. And then when the time's left over, see what we want to do after that. That's like my mentality when we're traveling. So that's what we did.
Well, and the wands were a great, I mean, you might want to go get the wands first, but the way that we did it was the boys just spent the last almost 2 hours casting spells with the wands, and we got to kind of sit and chill and relax in the sun.
Yeah, I would go to Ollivander's, which because they only let a certain amount of people into that shop at a time, it's small. I would do that in the morning before it gets crowded.
Yeah, the
because
line gets brutal, supposedly. You,
yeah, if that line builds, man, I would get in that line, do the demo, and get that wand, and then do the rides.
Like, yeah, and even just put the wand away and use it after you do the rides.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, so we're going to jump on the Hogwarts Express, and we are going to, you know, end at Universal Studios Florida in Diagon Alley. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to explore Diagon Alley, which was really, I think, the highlight for us at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. But first, if you're going to go to Diagon Alley, you should probably have insurance.
Definitely. You never know what kind of spells are going to get cast on you. All right. You can stay covered with emergency expense, which is automatically included with your RV, comp, and collision. Progressive will pay for temporary expenses, transportation, and towing if your RV is damaged more than 50 miles from your home. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more information.
So we've stepped off the Hogwarts Express and we are going to get into Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
But first you walk outside of Diagon Alley and they have kind of like this little mini London setup.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel like you're actually entering into Diagon Alley like they do in the books. And it's not that elaborate, the whole London spread outside, but
it's cute.
It gets you in the mood for it. And you kind of pass through this kind of corridor and you emerge into Diagon Alley. And my God, does it really look like Diagon Alley
like
from the movies?
It is shocking.
It looks so good.
It's jaw-dropping.
Visually, both Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley look amazing.
Mm-hmm. It really is shocking. But outside there, you've got what's the bus called? Oh, the night bus. Remember the night bus? The guys like
the two-story triple-decker bus.
So that's out there. You can actually talk to the head. The skull. He's sitting there in the window. We did. And I sat there with the boy. It's interactive. He like says things like he knows who you are. Like he talks about the boys' black shirts. Like they say things and they make jokes. I don't know how they do this. I don't know. It's like Siri, you know, it's like Siri in the skull on the night bus. But then there's also the phone booth and you can get in and you can like pick up the phone. And again, it's interactive. You can say things and it'll respond to you. Very similarly to when my boys like to joke and ask Siri funny questions. And, you know, she
Australian
responds.
Siri is what they like.
Yeah, they like Australian Siri.
So you enter in and it is sort of stunning visually. You do feel magically transported into Diagon Alley. And then there's lots of shopping.
There's the one big ride, and that's Harry Potter and the Escape from Gringotts. So right in front of you when you enter in, there's Gringotts Bank, you know, the bank that Harry Potter has to go in and get his money from. There is an enormous dragon on top of Gringotts. That
it breathes fire.
Breathes actual
fire. And you feel the heat.
Fire.
Of the fire.
It is a scene. It's shocking. You're like, oh my God.
Everybody kind of like freaks out and looks up like, whoa.
Yeah, people wait for it. Like when you know it's going to come, people sit there. They have their cameras, you know, they're like iPhones ready to record. It's pretty amazing. So we went in. Again, that was our first thing to go to. We're like, it's still morning. The time was, I think, 10 to 15 minute wait at that point. The ride, it was fun.
I thought it was an awesome ride.
You loved it.
I thought it was right up there with like Soarin' at Epcot. I thought it was a really excellent ride.
Yeah, a combination between roller coaster and virtual reality.
That being said, there should be another two or three rides. And I would imagine over time they'll build them in this part of the park. But there is one ride there and then lots of places to spend money.
Yeah.
Which is like Diagon Alley.
Our day, we had just done a bunch of rides. We got our wands. We took the train. We went on the Escape from Gringotts. So then it was time for lunch. And we did. And we had lunch there at
the
Leaky Cauldron,
which was fish and chips. My fish and chips was very good.
The boys had fish and chips. I had shepherd's pie. It was good. And it came with a nice green salad, really nice mixed greens.
And you did not feel like the prices were crazy.
No.
They just seemed pretty normal for theme park prices.
I have a reasonable expectation for upcharge, right? There's like this happy medium to me when it's like, oh, it's theme park, you know, prices. Then there's like, that's nuts.
It was like English pub prices. I mean, I've been to England. I've purchased fish and chips at an English pub.
The boys' it's the same fish price. And chips, the kids' ones were like $7.95 or something.
Yeah, and
which
the fish was
really
the
reasonable.
Fish was good.
Yes,
and
it was
a fun place
I think
to eat lunch.
Mine was like maybe $10.95 for my shepherd's pie, but it came with, like I said, a nice green salad. Like I felt like it was a nice meal. And then we all had our first taste of butter beer, which was like a really
well,
fun
the
family
butter
experience.
Beer experience. Which, by the way, the butter beer is like $4 or $5 or $6 or something.
Yeah,
it is actually really
cheaper
good.
Than a bottle of water at Yankee Stadium.
It's cream soda, but then they put a topping on it that is sort of this buttery,
it tastes like
foamy topping.
Buttery and cream soda, yeah.
It was really sweet, by the way, but it was actually quite good, and it was really fun to drink butterbeer. Now, we discovered throughout the day there are other variations of butterbeer in the park. So at lunch, we had regular butterbeer. But then what we decided, we said, you know what? We're content providers.
Then Jeremy pulls out the content card.
I said, we have to try all of them because we have to report back to our audience. We can't just have the regular butterbeer. So for you, dear listener, we also sampled the frozen butterbeer, which was a hit with the boys, the hot butterbeer, which Theo asked for a glass of it tonight before bed. For goodness sake.
Can we just fly
Wise
in?
Guy. He heard us talking about doing this episode.
We knew
he's
we
like,
were doing this
can
episode.
I have a warm butter beer? And by the way, the hot butter beer, it's not hot. Well, it's not hot. It's like getting a kid's hot chocolate at Starbucks. They keep the temperature down a little so you don't have little kids burning their throats. Stephanie wasn't a fan of the hot
that
butter beer.
That was super sweet. That was the sweetest of them all to me.
Yeah, but now the hit, the thing that you could miss – but because you listen to our podcast, you won't miss it because you get the best travel tips out there. The butterbeer ice cream was stinking awesome.
Well, it's funny because I really wanted to try that. We had only had butterbeer at lunch and I really wanted to have the butterbeer ice cream. So I went up to the counter and I ordered frozen butterbeer.
You thought you were getting the ice cream?
I thought I was getting the ice cream. And the guy comes back with like this slushy looking
thing.
And
by the way, you're buying this at like this like bar kind
so
of thing.
It is. It was great. That's what I loved about Diagon Alley was it was like there was like – it was basically like a bar. And I could walk up to it and I could order the – but I said frozen butterbeer thinking I was getting ice cream. But it was really – that was like a slushy. So like a frozen butterbeer is like very slushy.
It was also the most unoriginal of the three. Like you said, it's felt like something
I would have
you could
taken
get at 7-Eleven.
I don't know. I would have taken a frozen
compared
and the
to the
ice cream
beer,
over the hot.
The butterbeer ice cream was laced with that.
The butterbeer ice cream is the best. It was my favorite. But Theo liked the hot the best, and I think Max liked the frozen the best. Wesley, I don't think, gave us an actual honest like review of any of those. He just will take anything that you give him that
and
has sugar in it.
This was a heavy sugar overdose, by the way.
So, but I want to point out that at that point, I also enjoyed a beer. At that place. So it was like probably 3:30 in the afternoon by this point.
They have the Wizard's Brew, Dragon Scale. Which did you get?
I got the Dragon Scale.
And you thought it was good. It's good beer.
So what happened was the boys are running around Diagon Alley. They were having such an amazing time
casting spells everywhere.
They were just, at this point, they had gone all in on casting spells. So they're just going back and forth from one to the other, having the time of their life. And me and you are sitting there at a picnic table. I'm drinking a Dragon Scale beer. Wes was napping in his stroller. This was like the moments that life are made for parents. You're like, oh.
I'm just hung up on the me and you. You Ivy Leaguer, yo.
I'm not going to get into that because you use me and I wrong all
I know,
the time.
I know.
No, I have to correct
they
you
had
on
this
that.
Lovely outdoor seating right outside of this bar area. And look, I was in England for 7 weeks. A lot of the pubs have sort of these outdoor garden type areas. It really felt like we were in this magical version of England, sitting there enjoying a nice drink in the warm sunshine. And the kids played and played and played at these spells for literally 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was a nice, relaxing part of the day.
It was. It was really what it felt like happy hour for us, really, in a way.
We felt like we had earned it.
We did. We had had a busy day. So we had also gone out of Diagon Alley for a little while before the boys had their spell casting hours. Wesley really enjoyed Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone. Like, there's not a lot for the littles in Harry Potter world.
So we almost was like, all right, we got to do something for Wes.
So we did go out to find some things for him. And the Woody Woodpecker Kid Zone, he loved. They had that little water slide thing that those boys, they didn't really get wet on it, so it was good. But they did that over and over and over again for a good 40 minutes.
Yes, if you have a little guy who can't go on all the Harry Potter rides, that's like a nice option to let them do some fun stuff for an hour.
Yeah, we also did Transformers. We did the Minions ride, which is all the rage. And that was really fun. It was cute.
The Minions ride was adorable.
Then we saw some live entertainment. The Blues Brothers show was fun. They were performing out on the street.
Yeah, and it almost pains me to say it, but, you know, the parade was just not the Disney parade.
No, it wasn't, but the boys were into it.
They were.
Because there was like
I think they have low standards
for
parades.
The Secret Life of Pets. Like, you know, so they can identify because the Secret Life of Pets floats was going by and they were like, oh, the Secret Life of Pets. So the parade was, I think that if you've got kids, it's worth it. They really wanted to watch it. Me and you were like done at that point and they were like, let's watch the parade. So, you know, they had fun doing that. Now, two other things I want to mention. Stationary seating. At a lot of these virtual reality rides, they have what is called stationary seating, and it's actually a part of the ride that you can go on and you don't move around with the virtual reality.
So you did that on the Minions with
so
Wes.
Me and Wes did stationary seating and it was still fun, but it eliminates the motion sickness that we've been talking about a little bit with some of these virtual reality rides that people experience. So it was a way that, you know, either someone that's sensitive to motion or somebody little like Wes could experience the ride and stay there. So look for the stationary seating rides. And then also they had a rider's guide, which I wish they had given me at the gate. And next time I would recommend asking for it at the gate. They have this little pamphlet and it does list all of the rides that that the kids can go on at a certain height. Wes is at a tricky height. He's just under 40 inches.
Yeah, definitely grab one of those because you almost want to plan your day around the little guy who can't get on the rides.
You gotta throw him a bone. I mean, honestly, like we did. I mean, Wesley was patient, but then it was like, what does he get? You know? Yeah. And we did have to go looking for that and we got some bad advice. Everybody was very nice about it. They didn't mean to give us bad advice in the park. The
Escape from Gringotts, Wesley couldn't get on. So they told, and we were confused about that and we thought he could or something. So then someone there was like, oh, here are some free sort of their version of fast passes.
They said,
to
we're
go get
giving
on the
you
train. Transformers,
special.
And he can definitely go on the Transformers and he'll love it. So we ended up walking all the way over to Transformers later. I grabbed a coffee at Starbucks on the way, of course, drive Stephanie crazy.
Oh.
And you know what? We got online for the Transformers and then Wesley wasn't tall enough
again. And then the lady said, and so that's why this guy came out and he was so like, oh my gosh, because I'm not a meltdown-y kind of mom.
He gave Wesley certificates for the next time he comes.
But when you turn
online,
me into a liar to my kid when I'm like,
oh, we were like, Wesley, we're going to take you on.
Then
this
I kept like, you can't do this to me. So then he came out and he's like, here's the rider guide. Let's look at where Wesley can go and let's pick some options.
I give Wes credit. He handled the fact that he couldn't go on a whole bunch of rides really, really well.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is just that it's so visually fascinating for a three-year-old to be in Hogsmeade or Diagon Alley. I don't think he got that upset about missing rides.
So
but Disney is better for someone that tall.
So I want to say that this has been maybe this episode, people have been listening and they've been hearing a very like mixed review because I want it to be super honest that there were like certain things throughout the day that I was very much comparing to Disney after having spent 2 days in the parks there. And it was a little bit of a jarring experience for me at certain points, which highlighted the customer service experience at Disney, right? That was what it did. It was like, whoa, they're doing things in a certain way there. But I want to say after this mixed review that we've given and we've pointed out all these things that may be issues, I want to say that if you ask our boys what the best thing about our Florida vacation was, hands down, they're going to say every time it was Harry Potter World. So this,
and to tell you the truth,
this is the single best experience of their vacation.
And it was Harry Potter World because of the wands and the casting the spells. Like I never would have guessed that would have become
it wasn't
their favorite
the
thing.
It wasn't.
It was the spell casting.
It was, and it was the butter beer. It was the way it
entering
looked like
world.
Harry Potter. They did that. They captured that feeling. And for a kid being imaginative and having read the books and watched the movies, for them to walk in there, they felt like they were there.
And as Stephanie pointed out, you know, I don't know that we've given it a mixed review. We've just pointed out that there are some, you know, overarching flaws.
I felt like I had issues with
there were definitely issues with Universal more.
Yeah.
But with the two Harry Potter parts of the park, they were awesome. No doubt about it. They were awesome.
They've done an amazing experience. I would like them to develop more rides, and not even just the roller coaster rides, but you think about what Disney does with the sort of experiential rides where you sit there in the boat and you go around. Like, I would like to see them develop more.
It's also
those.
Left a somewhat sour taste in my mouth that you are forced into buying this combo ticket pass.
That's like if Disney did the Star Wars. Like, say they did Star Wars and they didn't just do it at the one park. They did it at like Magic Kingdom. Yeah. And, you know, the people would be like, oh, come on, I got to get a hopper pass to do both.
Hypothetically,
of these.
If your kids are little enough, you could just take them to one part of the Harry Potter and not even tell them the other part exists.
But then what's the point of even paying? Because then they don't really know the Harry Potter thing anyway. Like, our boys know Harry Potter. They know Harry Potter World inside out. The whole experience was worth it. Here's the tricky part. This is going to be my final statement on this. I thought that dropping 1K in a day, which I don't think I've ever done before in my life. Okay. I thought that this was going to be a one-time experience. Like, I'm going to take them to Harry Potter World this time because right now it's the perfect time in their life. They love it. Well, the problem is now they're like, that was the best thing in the world. We've created little monsters.
I mean, so now, if we go back, and that is a little bit of the problem. Like, if we went back to Disney
and didn't do Harry Potter, I don't know.
When we go back to Disney, I'll be honest, I could easily skip Harry Potter for financial reasons.
Yeah.
And just because, like, I personally would rather be at Epcot or the Magic Kingdom or Hollywood Studios and not have to drive half an hour and all
that
stuff. But if we're there, or when we're there next year, you know, they would be disappointed if we didn't take them to Harry Potter, for goodness sake.
We'll give
them
like every 7 years or something on Harry Potter. So we will be back in a minute to wrap up the show.
Thank you so much for joining us for episode 129 of RVFTA. Greetings from the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Universal Studios, Florida. And a big thank you to our sponsors, to the Thetford Corporation, to Jayco, and to Campgrounds of America.
And also thank you to Progressive Insurance. Adding an RV policy to another policy like a home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV to learn more. And you will need to save money on insurance after visiting Universal Studios.
Net worth has plummeted. We have a personal family recession.
But it is honestly, like, this is an experience
that they will remember for the rest of their life. And I came home and bought a new truck, which we'll have to talk about
on another
episode.
Out of control, everybody.
We'll see you at Diagon Alley.
See you at Harry Potter World.